Albert, let's talk about techniques before we go to the phone calls. And I'm telling you, they have already lined up waiting for you. If you were selling tickets to a concert, people would be sleeping overnight to get to you.
That's
techniques, what can people do to try to induce an out-of-body experience?
Well, the key here is this is how, let me tell you how I kind of back-engineered my way into
And go easy for us, like we don't really grasp
well,
this yet.
That's the whole key is it's you know, I was trying to find out why it was happening to me without me wanting it to. And that was the key to finding out how simple it is. When you read about all these rituals and you got to face left and north and do this and try this for 30 days, all that had nothing to do with what I was doing when I was 5 and 6 and 7 years old. So what I did is I on the days that it would happen to me, I would document and I found out that certain keys, certain things that had to happen. One of the things I found out is that it happened a lot on the nights that I couldn't sleep very well, where on the nights that I would go to bed and then I would wake up in the middle of the night and like listen to coast and then go back to
good
bed.
Good answer.
There's a plug. I'd go back to bed about 3 o'clock and then it would happen. Or it would happen on the nights where and I also noticed that I would have a lot of flying dreams during that period of time, or lucid dreams during that period of time when I would wake up. So what I decided to do is I decided to set my alarm clock for 1 o'clock in the morning, and when the alarm clock went off, I got out of bed. I didn't eat or drink anything. I mean, you can drink water, but because I already know that the body uses energy to process food, period.
Sure.
And so I felt that I found out over a period of time that that's something you don't want to do is to eat and then go back to bed. So I would get up and I would stay up maybe about an hour or two, and then I would go back to bed. And then one of the other key that I found out is that usually it happened when I was extremely relaxed after going to bed. So then I would just try to relax my body as much as possible, get all my scratching and itching out of the way, because once you drift off, you want to stay perfectly still, just like you would if you were sleeping normally.
Mm-hmm.
So I would get all that out of the way, find a very comfortable position, and that means if you have to sleep with or lay down with a pillow under your knees to prop up your knees a little bit, because sometimes people feel tension in their lower back. Don't put a lot of pillows under your head; just one is sufficient, you know, to just keep your spine kind of straight. Because what I found out is that when you travel out of body, your body doesn't move; it's not tossing and turning while you're gone. The longest I've been able to have these experiences is 3 hours. Now, if my neck was propped up in an awkward position for 3 hours, I'm going to wake up with a really bad neck pain. So I suggest people get as comfortable as you possibly can. And when you lay back in this position, try to clear your mind. Someone wrote me a letter, said, well, what chakra do you focus in on? Well, I didn't know anything about chakras and it was happening. So the thing that I do know is that when my mind was almost blank right before drifting off to sleep, that's when it would happen.
Right.
That's when I would have the paralysis. So you try to clear your mind. And I'll tell you, those of you who have tried meditation and clearing your mind, that's a task in itself. It's very difficult because you're going to be thinking about your bills. You're going to be thinking about the dog barking out. And if you sleep in with anyone and they roll over, you're going to be thinking about that. So that's going to keep you busy enough just to try to keep your mind in.
Well, do you focus on anything? Maybe
Focus on one thing, not a lot of things, one thing. You can focus on, especially if you can close your eyes and you can see between your eyebrows, the inner screen, you can see maybe a circle or a square. And just focus in on that square.
Okay.
What I like to do is I like to focus in on my breathing, just in and out. Just imagine you can see what the air looks like going in and out, and that's it.
But you're going to fall asleep before you do an OBE, right?
Okay, now that's the key. Now that's the key is that when you say you are going to fall asleep, no, your body is going to fall asleep. That's the key. What you're doing now, and many of us have done this, we just didn't know that we could apply it in a different way. Many of us have driven on the freeway, and we've been exhausted or after work and tired, and you get a little drowsy, and for that brief second, you nod out. Just that brief second. It may only take a second, and then you wake up. But what you're doing here, and even when that happened, you still felt that you were awake, but your body nodded out. Your eyes became heavy. Well, now you're in a very safe environment, and the body, because you've interrupted its sleep pattern, it requires about 6 to 8 hours of sleep. Now, you've cut it off by about 4 hours. So your body is looking to get at least 4 more hours of sleep, and because you've interrupted it, allows your consciousness to stay alert.
Hmm.
So if you lay perfectly still, you're going to induce that and don't move at all, your body is going to fall asleep naturally, just like it would if you were on the freeway, or just like you would if you just lay down to go back to sleep. But now, what you try to do while you're focusing on that one thing allows you to keeps you from drifting into a dream state with your body.
So that's the key. You don't want to dream.
No, you don't want to dream. You want to focus on one thing. But if you're real tired and you try to do this in the beginning without waking up, you're just going to go into a very, very low REM state and sleep very heavily. And you're probably not going to remember very much. But if you interrupt your sleep pattern, then go back to sleep, and then keep your consciousness around long enough on focusing on one thing to allow your body to drift off. As soon as your body drifts off, you may feel the paralysis, you may hear the vibration, you may hear a loud roaring sound or like a buzzing sound, or you may feel, and this is the part that scares a lot of people, but it's okay, but you may feel as if there's a pressure or something pushing you into the bed, like as if you can't breathe.
Right, for a moment.
Yeah, and that's only for a moment because you're transitioning. The transition is what feels uncomfortable because you've got to release everything that is the physical.
When do you realize that you're out of the body?
Well, first of all, something happens like like my friend described it as he heard a loud pop and the vibration stopped. Or all of a sudden he could see, or I could see, it happens to me that way, without opening my eyes. Or all of a sudden, the body just starts, you just start floating upward. You start feeling movement.
You know what happened to me when I was 11, with my eyes closed, and again, I didn't know what was happening, but I do remember, do you remember when you were a kid, you'd look at a kaleidoscope?
Mm-hmm.
You'd see, you know, in how you turn it? With my eyes closed, I somehow saw that kind of thing going around and around real fast.
Right.
And when I woke up, I was out.
Right. You can see colors. You may feel a rocking motion because what that is that's the astral body trying to dislodge itself. So you may feel, if you feel any kind of movement, sometimes now, this is the thing that I have to tell people. Going into the out-of-body space or to the astral plane and expecting not to have an encounter with a ghost or something is like going into the ocean and expecting not to see fish. That's where they are.
So you're going to get grabbed.
Yeah, you're going to.
Great.
Somebody can help you, though. It's not a negative thing. It's somebody could help you get out by pulling on your arm. Like in my mother's case, something grabbed her arm and helped her out. So there's going to be all kinds of things. It doesn't happen all the time. I mean, I've had experiences where I didn't see anything. But I'd say out of 10 experiences or 10 attempts, you definitely will have 2 or 3 that you won't be alone.
Why don't you project after the show and come help us?
You know, I have been asked to help so many people that what I'm going to have to do is create an astral bus and just pull up and kind of toot the bus and have everybody come out.
They all come aboard.
that's the simplest technique.
If 1,000 people try this, and we'll talk about another technique after some of these calls. But
what percentage?
What percent tonight? If 1,000 people try it tonight.
I'd say roughly 60%, but only maybe 30 to 40% will remember.
Ah, that's the key too then.
The key is remembering.
Remember that you were in your astral body.